hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller Podcast for the 18th day of December 2019. It's impeachment day, ladies and gentlemen. Are you excited? Aren't you? Did you get your impeachment day cards? Did you get your impeachment day gifts ready? Are you ready to go? I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. There's only one more shopping day until impeachment. Actually, there's no more shopping days till impeachment. Like I said, we're going to, you know, this is the part, I think I'm going to call this episode What to Expect When You're Expecting Impeachment, because that's really what this is about. The whole day, not the whole show, hopefully there's some other stuff I want to get to, but the whole day, all you're going to hear about is the word historic. Oh my goodness, it's so historic. Historic, this is historic. Holy cow, is this historic? It's historic, but then every day is technically historic. I think that word is overused and abused, but in this case, sure, it's rarely happened and it's never happened like this. Democrats are using impeachment as an election strategy. That's never been done before. It should never be done in the first place. It should never be done again. And everybody who does it should be punished for doing so, electorally. But the time will tell on that thing. I just want to talk about some of the conspiracy theories and nuts thing. But I want to make a request of everybody out there before we get into anything in the news of the day. This coming Monday is Festivus. It's a Festivus for the rest of us. And somebody recommended this like a couple of, maybe a month ago via email. And I thought this would be great. So if you have, on Festivus, we can't really do feats of strength over a podcast. We can't really have a feast and we can't gather around an aluminum pole, but we can in our minds. And we can also air our grievances. So if you have any grievances about anything, really, not political. It can be political if that's what your grievance is. But if you have grievances about anything, email them to me, Derek@dailycaller.com. I will happily read some of the best ones on the air. I am also preparing my own list of grievances, not just political, mostly not political, to be perfectly honest with you. What was it that Frank Costanza said? I got a lot of problems with you people. I got a lot of problems with people. So we're going to just do a special Festivus show right before Christmas on Festivus itself, to mark the solemn occasion of Festivus. If you don't know what Festivus is, Google it and then watch that episode of Seinfeld. It's absolutely genius. I'll tell you, when I lived in Detroit, right after the Festivus episode, I went out. My uncle and my godfather ran the parks and rec in the city I grew up in Redford, Michigan. And I went and the warehouse where they worked or whatever, the shop, whatever you call it, where they stored all the trucks and everything. I went and got a pole and I got a Christmas tree stand and I had a Festivus party. My feat of strength was going out into about a foot of snow in shorts and laying down in the snow. Not much of a feat of strength, but I had a Festivus party and it was great. And I kept that aluminum pole in that Christmas tree stand for 10 years. Maybe more. It's probably still sitting in the courtyard of my old apartment in Baltimore. I left it there because it had been sitting outside for quite a while. But I do were a fan of Festivus, and we will be marking it this year with the traditional airing of grievances. So if you've got them, get them to me by this weekend, because Sunday night when I record the show for Monday for Festivus itself, you've got to have them in. So make sure you do that. All right, let's get on with it, shall we? Now we give a word to our fine, fine sponsor. You've heard me talk about ancientlifeoil.com and the CBD oil and extol the virtues of it, and it's all true. So joining me now to back me up on that is the man behind it all himself, Ronnie McMullen. Ronnie, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Derek?
I am doing great, and it's no small part thanks to the CBD oil. I used to get the eye strain at the end of the day from staring at the computer screen. My joints would ache by the end of the day. I was really surprised at how I went into it as a skeptic. I was really surprised at how big of a difference it made. Talk about the surprise that people can expect when they start using CBD oil.
There's a reason everybody's jumping on the CBD, because it's very good for you. Ours is all tested, non-GMO, all organic. Huge difference with organic, because if you don't have organic, you've got chemicals. We're kind of the Ferrari of CBDs. Here's the good stuff. So CBD deals with the endocannabinoid system, which talks to our digestive system. It talks to our sensory system. It talks to respiratory system, lymphatic, immune, muscular, skeletal, cardiovascular. We can go on and on and on. And what this does is, if you've got something kind of not going well, it goes and finds that receptor. And there's receptors for pain, appetite, sensation, inflammation, eye ocular pressure, yes, even your eyes. This is good for your eyes. It's mind-blowing what it does. Mood, energy, metabolism, stress response. This is why it's really good for anxiety. This is why it's really good for stress. It's going to change your health for the better.
Find out for yourself and find out why hundreds of thousands of Americans swear by CBD oil. Get the best, highest quality CBD oil at ancientlifeoil.com. Enter promo code Derek at checkout. You get 10% off your order. You can't beat that. Ronnie McMullen, thank you for introducing me to CBD oil, and thank you for calling in today.
Thank you so much.
Again, ancientlifeoil.com, promo code Derek at checkout, 10% off. Find out what all the buzz is about. All righty, on with the news, shall we? By the time you hear this, unless you're listening early in the morning, the president has been impeached, and Democrats have now refilled the contents of their spank bank. They're very excited about this. Oh, man, it's historic. We've done history. It's kind of funny. Last night on Twitter, there were liberal activists like Alyssa Milano, and I can't remember the guy in New York. He's not famous, but tweeting about, oh, there are these rallies in New York and Los Angeles in support of impeachment. We have hundreds of people here. Like, oh, wow, you mean in the city of millions upon millions of people in metro areas with millions more people, you managed to cobble together a couple of hundred? Congratulations. You kind of want to pat him on the head and give him a lollipop. Like, oh, congratulations. In the deepest blue areas of our country, you managed to find people to take to the streets? How did you ever manage to do that? How did you get people off their couches and out marching for a cause? Of course, this is what the left lives for. This is, they need a reason to go and march and chant more than they need food or oxygen. Of course, the oxygen they take in is just wasted. The brain damage they've done to themselves over the years is too far gone for oxygen to help. But you've got to admire their spirit, I guess, don't you? Maybe. I don't know. I look at these things and I think, congratulations, you've managed to pull together a couple of hundred people, maybe. In like one story, it was like 150 people gathered downtown. Ooh, 150 people. Geez, the average high school basketball game gets more than 150 people, but congratulations. Good on you. I don't mind. I don't mind. It's not a matter of me minding. You can do whatever the hell you want, but I don't sit there and think that these people, well, that's not true. I do think these people are morons. But to sit there and think that somehow this is some kind of accomplishment is what's hilarious. What is going on, and people are free to go and do this. The problem I have with this is that 150 people gathering in a metro area of 10 million, how does that warrant a news story? How does that figure? And it doesn't figure. When you get 100,000 people down on the Mall in Washington, D.C. every year for the March for Life, that doesn't get mentioned at all. It's not covered by the liberal media at all, except in maybe passive, dismissive tones. But 150 liberals gather in a park, in a liberal city, in a liberal state, and suddenly all presses are stopped. That's kind of, you know, how bias works. That actually is how bias works. It's how these people work. It's how this mentality works. If they agree with it, it's news, regardless of its news value. So Alyssa Milano, sort of a washed up has-been, who's a little bit weird, who's a nut job, and a well-known liberal activist, and she spoke at it. And if Alyssa Milano is the big name at your rally is wanting for some names. I love it. But, you know, this will get media coverage tonight, or last night. It did get media coverage. Ooh, these rallies, the people are taking to the streets. You got to remember that the left professionally takes to the streets. That's what they do. They live in the streets. They might as well be homeless people. They're out in the streets so much. It must be nice to have that kind of time. Like, oh, what's the cause today? And you've got your little packet of signs ready to go. Whatever the cause is, I've got a sign ready for it. And I'm out there. And it's weird how these sort of spontaneous grassroots things are always populated by signs, union printed. As if they plan, because you can't just say, you know what, I need 100 signs in an hour that say impeach Trump, get him out of office. You're probably not going to get those signs in an hour. Certainly not nailed to pieces of wood. But you can if you do some planning. And these things are planned, but they're always portrayed as wildly spontaneous. Just at a moment's notice, people walked out of their homes, compelled, as if called by something beyond their control to go to the streets, and all chant simultaneously the same things while carrying the same signs. Is that really? Grassroots? Is that really spontaneous? No, of course not. This was organized in part by MoveOn.org. If you remember MoveOn.org, what makes it hilarious that MoveOn.org is organizing We Must Impeach and Remove Donald Trump rallies is MoveOn.org was created under the guise of we need to move on from Clinton's impeachment. We need to drop the impeachment of Bill Clinton and simply move on. That's where the name came from. There were actual, literal, factual, proven crimes committed by the President of the United States in the late 1990s. His name happened to be Bill Clinton, but he was a member of the Democratic Party, so he's forgiven for all his crimes. Donald Trump is accused of obstruction of Congress. What in the hell is obstruction of Congress? It doesn't exist. It's not a criminal violation. Abuse of power? Again, it's a tactic. It's not a charge. Nobody's sitting there currently serving federal time or state time for anything called abuse of power. But these things don't matter to the left. They have an agenda, and they are not going to be deterred by a little thing like facts. Yesterday, I played you the Maxine Waters thing where she's going on and on and on about, I don't have the facts. I don't have the facts to back this up, but I know this is going on. You don't want Maxine Waters on your jury. Actually, you probably do, because she's against anybody, just like every other Democrat. She's against anybody going to prison except for Republicans. So if you're not a Republican, or you can hide the fact that you're a Republican, there's a good chance Maxine Waters will not vote to convict you. If she finds out that you're a Republican, though, it's game on. These people are coordinated. They are pathetic. They are determined. And you've got to take them seriously because they are not only trying to impeach the president, which they will do and probably have done by now, they are seeking to gain complete control of our government. And if they're willing to do this with just the House of Representatives, what do you think they'd be willing to do to Republicans, to conservatives, to dissenters, to nonconformists, should they get absolute total control over the government? That ain't pretty. We've seen that throughout history. The progressive, quote-unquote, regimes always turn into totalitarian regimes because they have to use force to take from the people who earn, who produce, in order to get government dependence spread through the people who don't. And they won't let a little thing like human rights stand in their way. But now that impeachment is a foregone conclusion, and I'm just going to assume that it passed on a party-line vote, some Democrats will vote against some of this. That'll be the only bipartisan vote, but that'll be ignored. There is this interesting theory being floated around by liberal lunatics across the fruited plain. Lawrence Tribe, the Harvard law professor and liberal academic who the liberals just love the hell out of this guy. He beclowns himself regularly. If you look up some of the things that he's written, especially on social media, he has been proven to be a buffoon. But, you know, it doesn't matter. He's a leftist, and the D after his name protects him from everything. They're floating this idea that the House of Representatives, since there won't be a fair trial in the Senate, the House should simply hold on to the articles of impeachment until the Senate agrees to what the House determines to be a fair trial. Now, the House and Senate have really no effect on one another. The House maintains its own rules, and the Senate maintains its rules. They're completely separate bodies. They don't like it when one institution tries to meddle with the other one, and they don't do it very often. They're very territorial, and if you start trying to demand action from one, then the other one will come back and demand action from you. So they tend to respect boundaries, but we're dealing with the modern Democratic Party. They have no respect for anything. So they are toying with this idea of trying to put pressure on the Senate to hold the kind of trial that the House wants, which is its own problem. They want to call witnesses. They want to use subpoena power to call witnesses to a Senate trial that the House didn't bother to subpoena, didn't bother to fight for subpoenas. One subpoena was withdrawn, as a matter of fact. John Bolton was never subpoenaed. So they weren't very serious about these people, but now suddenly they want them because they see this as an opportunity to... They think that, oh, if we can get these people, then maybe we can prove our case, which to my mind means you haven't proved your case. So why are you impeaching them? But again, we know why they're impeaching them. They're impeaching him because they have no other alternative for a strategy for the 2020 election. So this story from Newsweek is rather hilarious. Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen, one of my senators, floated the idea today that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi could hold on to the impeachment articles, could withhold them from the GOP-led Senate until Mitch McConnell agrees to a fair trial. In recent days, Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell revealed that he held discussions with the White House to coordinate an impeachment strategy that will secure a favorable outcome for President Trump. Quote, there will be no difference between the president's position and our position as to how to handle this, he told Fox News. Well, another McConnell position drew fierce criticism from Democrats. Every McConnell position draws fierce criticism from Democrats who have rebuked him for failing to act impartially. Now, you find me one Democrat who's acting impartially. Every Democrat in the Senate has declared the president's whatever Democrats are saying as impeachable. And he needs to be removed. They're chomping at the bit to get on the record. Senators are, especially the ones up in 2020, are much safer than the House members that are facing it. So for them to say, Republicans aren't being impartial. There wasn't a Democrat that I can remember in 1999 in the Clinton impeachment who hadn't pronounced Bill Clinton already innocent, already not guilty. So they're sitting there and it says, this is... Chris Van Hollen on MSNBC yesterday says, quote, I think the reason Republicans are so determined not to have these witnesses come forward is that they could say something even more incriminating than the evidence that we've had already, which would make it very hard for Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham to say, we see nothing, we hear nothing. Now, does that sound like somebody who's being impartial, somebody who hasn't made up their minds? It's hilarious to watch these Democrats say, Republicans are not coming into this with an open mind as they pronounce Donald Trump guilty. They are, well, no, they're self, I would say they're the least self-aware people on the planet, but that would be obese people who wear spandex. They are aware. They know what they're doing. And they also know that they're not going to be called out. This MSNBC, you say that on MSNBC, and the so-called journalist, who's really nothing more than a TV presenter or personality, nods right along with you. Why, yes, Senator, that's exactly how it is. That's a complete and total and accurate description of the situation. They're on your team. You can say that. You can say anything you want in your own locker room, and everybody's going to agree with you. Van Hollen continued, "The only reason for them to hide it is there is more incriminating evidence. If you're going to have something, you're going to call a trial, then it has to be open and fair." Again, Chris Van Hollen, the idea of due process in this country is that people are innocent until proven guilty. As a juror, Chris Van Hollen theoretically has not heard firsthand any of the evidence, so-called, presented so far. Yet here he is saying that the reason that the Republicans are trying to move this along is because Donald Trump is guilty and they're afraid that we're going to find out more things about it. Well, the House of Representatives impeached the president on the evidence that they have. They believe that there is enough evidence in the record already to warrant the removal of the president of the United States, or else they would not have passed articles of impeachment, right? I mean, unless they're being political hacks. So what would more evidence do? It wouldn't do anything. Of course, how do you know there's more evidence? They don't. They just want to try to embarrass the president because they know that everything here is a foregone conclusion. So they're desperately scrambling for something to hang their hats on when it comes to the election next year. The hackery could not be more clear. The absurdity of it all and the hypocrisy of it all could not be more clear. But who's going to call them out on it? Okay, let me be more specific. Who that they're going to go anywhere near is going to call them out on it, because they're not going to go anywhere near a conservative. Just to put a fine point on it, Zoe Lofgren, Democrat, long-serving Democrat. She was there for the Nixon impeachment because politics is a career for these people. She basically made the case. She stated, and they don't seem to realize what they're doing. But again, when you go to a safe space, this was on CNN. When you go to a safe space, you open up more because you know you're not going to be challenged. You feel like you're just talking to friends. And in the case of Democrats talking to the media, they are talking to friends. She says essentially that what the impeachment vote is about and what this whole thing is about is to be a stain on Donald Trump's record forever. They want that asterisk next to his name for all time. Listen to her say it for herself.
Now, the vote to impeach will be a stain on his record forever. He will only be the third president in history to have that record.
And there you have what this is all about. This is staining Donald Trump's record. They're still pissed off that Bill Clinton was impeached. They're pissed off that Hillary Clinton lost. They're pissed off because they're pissed off. They're pissed off because they don't yet have absolute power. But mostly, they're pissed off that Neil Gorsuch is on the Supreme Court and that Brett Kavanaugh is on the Supreme Court. And the best argument I can think of to make sure that you vote for Donald Trump coming up in 2020 is so that when Darth Vader Ginsburg finally leaves the court, however she leaves the court, that Donald Trump is the one who replaces her. That's how it should be. That would absolutely, I mean, if you think the left was crazy during the Kavanaugh hearings, my God, if you watch confirmation hearings to replace Darth Vader Ginsburg, they will be literally setting themselves on fire rather than just figuratively. They will have the ultimate freak out. That will mean that they will not be able to impose their unconstitutional will on people. There will be a court there to backstop against their thwarting of what this country is supposed to be about. They will lose their damn minds. That'll be worth the price of admission alone. Yes, college campuses will turn into even crazier cesspools of idiocy, but so what? It'll be worth it. Our rights will be protected for another generation. Then they'll come under assault again. But the Supreme Court is the best. I mean, could you imagine Hillary Clinton having replaced two Supreme Court justices, two conservative Supreme Court justices? Hell no, absolutely not. Thank God that Donald Trump won, and Donald Trump needs to win again. And then we can maybe exhale for a 10-year period. But the freak out alone will be. I was talking to my dad earlier tonight or last night, and I said, you know, the main reason I want Trump to win is because I despise the Democratic agenda and I want to stop it. The federal government has no business doing those sorts of things, and I enjoy my rights. But also, I want to watch the election results on November 3rd, 2020. I want to watch them roll in. And I want to flip over to MSNBC and CNN and ABC and every one of them. And I want to watch those people's faces. I also want to make sure that those smug pieces of excrement do not win. But I mostly want to watch them lose. That's a little bit cynical, probably, but I don't give a damn. How satisfying, you know, 2016 election results and watching them have a breakdown, it's great to go back and watch those highlight reels and watching it in real time. I was kind of shocked. I was kind of too much in shock that at what happened to really thoroughly enjoy it. This time I want to enjoy it. This time I really want to watch it and watch these people squirm. I want to watch them break down. I want to watch them cry on MSNBC. I want to see all these celebrities who say they're going to leave the country. I want to see them leave. I want to help them pack. I want to help them pack to get the hell out of the country. I want the American people to stand up to these radical little fascists and tell them to get bent, get the hell out of here, to go away, that we reject your insanity. We are not a socialist country. We are not a totalitarian country. We will not go down the path of collectivism. We will not bow to your identity politics garbage. Go away. That's what I want to see come election day. And if you want to send a greeting card to mark that very occasion, well, I've got the solution for you. Our wonderful sponsor at PatriotPenguin.com. Look, Christmas is just around the corner, but it's not too late to get your Christmas cards and get them out. And if you want to send something that sends, that captures who you are, that's a conservative message, but also funny, not obnoxious over your head sort of liberalism like Hallmark gives you, but no, an alternative, a company run by a couple of young conservative guys who saw a market out there that was not being served and created it. Go to PatriotPenguin.com. They've got holiday cards, birthday cards, thank you cards, Valentine's Day cards. If you have ever been through the card aisle in the store recently, it's liberal crap or it's just lame. It's not funny. It's old grandma jokes. Well, you don't have that problem at Patriot Penguin. It's conservative cards with a real sense of humor. It's actually very funny cards that happen to be conservative, that don't beat you over the head with a political message, but give you the laugh you need in times like this. And they're from a conservative point of view. You got Valentine's Day just around the corner. You got Christmas literally just around the corner. You get next day shipping. And as an added bonus on top of their already great sale prices, you enter the promo code DAILYCALLER, all one word, don't space in between the two, DAILYCALLER, and you get 30% off your order. It'll be shipped out to you. They ship it out the next day. You'll have it in plenty of time for Christmas. You got birthdays coming up. They got you covered. You're going to need some thank you cards after Christmas. They've got you covered there too. And get ready for Valentine's Day. They have you covered as well. PatriotPenguin.com. Remember what Hallmark promised to be all those years ago when shoebox greetings started? Oh, it's going to be funny. They're not anymore. They're lame. Patriot Penguin is funny and it's conservative. Help the cause, help the people. And bring a little sanity and levity to your holiday cards, birthday cards, thank you cards, and Valentine's Day cards. Don't forget promo code DAILYCALLER at checkout for 30% off your order. But anyway, back to the point at hand. The Democrats are now floating this idea that the House should withhold the articles of impeachment. Hold them out there until they get a fair trial. I think that would be perfectly fine if that's what they want to do, but that would then expose them as being partisan hacks. Yes, this was done exclusively for partisan electoral reasons. If Donald Trump is the threat to democracy that they say he is, they must act quickly. They must get this done. They must go and present their case. If they don't think they're going to get a fair trial, that would mean that they probably don't have a very strong case to present. But it's funny because the House is where the investigation is supposed to happen. And if they thought that these so-called witnesses were so crucial to their case, why did they walk away from trying to compel them to testify? Well, it's because they know they're not. They are on a political mission from the get-go. So it's kind of funny that they're floating this idea, because this idea, while they think, well, this is a genius idea, we can hold it out there, and that would draw attention to the fact that we're not going to get a fair trial, is really showing the world that they know they don't have a case to make. Look, if they had ironclad evidence of the president having committed felonies rather than, you know, just being Donald Trump, they could present that. And there would be a movement in this country, an actual literal movement, not just a bunch of activist Democrats, to remove the president of the United States. They don't have that. They know they don't have that. So this stunt is what it really is. They've reduced the impeachment to a stunt. Why not have it have a grand finale of withholding the articles of impeachment? Because if the House doesn't send it over, I don't think the Senate can simply take it up. Maybe they can. But it'll be fun to watch, because they're scrambling, because they don't really know what they're doing. They want to get, as Congresswoman Lofgren said, they want to get the asterisk after Donald Trump's name. They want to stain his record in the history books. But they know they don't have the case. So they can do that part on their own, and the rest of it, they just kind of have to accept the fact that it's not going to happen. Is it enough? Probably. For the people who took to the streets last night, it's not enough. The Democrats will have overpromised and underdelivered yet again. But I think most of the people who took to the streets last night aren't really interested in facts anyway. I feel like we should move on from this, but we can't, because it's really all that's going on in the world. Remember the FISA memo? Remember how that was the big story for about 2 days, like I predicted? It'll last until the inspector general testifies, and then they'll quickly move on. It's a non-story now on MSNBC and CNN that the intelligence community under Barack Obama, under the leadership of James Comey, John Brennan, and James Clapper, violated the rights of American citizens, spied on American citizens, and did so through lies and obfuscation of the FISA court. Well, the FISA court finally spoke back. I've been wondering this. I've been getting your emails about this. Why hasn't the FISA court been this, that, and the other thing? And I've asked some people who, you know, were in position certainly to know better than I do. And they've said, well, we don't know that the FISA court hasn't rebuked these people, because what the FISA court does is operate in secret. So we wouldn't necessarily know what they've done about the abuses that the inspector general found. Well, now we do know, because the FISA court, in an incredibly rare, I don't even know that this has ever been done before, rebuke of the FBI, they have released a letter condemning the FBI for lying to the FISA court. Finally, I don't know what the hell took them so long, but they've done it and are demanding reviews not only of the cases that they presented against the Trump campaign, but of all FISA cases. They say that this, the actions of the FBI in this case, call into question the validity of all FISA warrants, which is huge and dangerous, and why the abuses in the Trump campaign case, for partisan reasons, have such far-reaching ramifications. If they are willing to go this far to investigate Donald Trump, to try and get dirt on Donald Trump, then what are they willing to do to just an average American citizen that nobody's ever heard of? Well, the FISA court wants answers, and they want a report from the FBI very soon. And that's a good thing. And they're demanding that that report be public and minimally redacted, which is also good. It's not good for liberals, because they don't really want the FISA aspect of this entire impeachment sham to be a part of this. They don't want people thinking or knowing about the fact that the Obama administration abused, you talk about abuse of power, they abused the power of government to spy on the Trump campaign. So, for a refresher, let's go down memory lane, shall we? Because Democrats insisted that the Devin Nunes memo, remember that? The House Intelligence Committee had investigated FISA abuse, and Devin Nunes released a memo detailing the FISA abuses that he found in the Trump campaign case. It was immediately dismissed as partisan hackery, as outrage. How dare Devin Nunes do these sorts of things? They were mad at Devin Nunes for issuing this report because they said it was partisan hackery. Here's a little montage to remind everybody of what MSNBC and CNN, and you're about to hear voices from journalists and from members of politicians. All of them, everything you're about to hear was said unquestioned on MSNBC and CNN, and everything you're about to hear is an absolute and total lie.
They're running around the White House like they're creating this big spooky notion that somehow they have uncovered the whole thing.
Let's speak English here. He could not have injected more suspicion into his remarks. He wanted to be on television.
I'm dumbfounded here. What? I don't know what he's trying to prove. Why would he blow himself up, blow the committee up?
He just blew himself up yesterday because...
I've never seen a committee chairman come out in front of the press and just kind of pour gasoline all over himself and light himself on fire.
He's really tossed a bomb into the relationship with you. I can't believe for a moment they're happy at the FBI this morning.
He's obviously doing the bidding of a president who is a political day trader.
I think this was pure theater. I think in many respects it was probably orchestrated by the White House.
Are you even leaving over the possibility that this committee can conduct this investigation, or do you think the committee, because of the chairman's actions in your view, has lost all credibility? It's done.
Has Chairman Nunes so damaged the credibility of the Intelligence Committee that they should just shut down that investigation?
And he has become the subject, basically, he should be, of an investigation.
He's just not at the caliber that Intel Committee chairmen are supposed to be at. And he's completely destroyed his reputation.
The chairman of the committee was a willing stooge. Chairman Nunes is deeply compromised, and he cannot possibly lead an honest investigation.
Do you think Devin Nunes should step down?
Are you ready at this point, Congressman, to say that the chairman, Chairman Nunes, should step down as committee chairman?
That was when the Nunes memo came out. Within 2 days, a word had caught on amongst the media fellow travelers there and the politicians. Again, it's a hive mind. It's a collective mind. That word is dud. Here's another montage of these leftists, the very same people, declaring the memo, which proved to be true, a dud.
The reviews are in, and Congressman Nunes's memo was a dud. The Nunes memo is a dud. Let's start with Sean Hannity. Not to be undeterred by the sort of dud factor of the memo.
That this memo was a complete dud. It overpromised and underdelivered.
I mean, it's pretty much a dud.
I got to tell you, though, I mean, it's kind of a dud. It doesn't really deliver.
I prefer really big revealing documents to really narrow duds. This looks like a dud. I could tell you from reading this memo and consulting with a wide range of experts, it's a dud. This memo is a dud. Nothing. A dud. But it is nothing. A nothing burger.
And less interesting about this memo is what is in it. It's pretty much a nothing burger.
A nothing burger.
Quote, dishonest, misleading, partisan nothing burger.
The only thing I fear from this memo, because I think it's really been a huge dud.
Some of the GOP Tea Party members were out there saying that this is the most vile thing they'd ever seen. And it's a big dud.
It's a dud.
Unfortunately, it fell flat yesterday, much, I think, to the chagrin of the president. This memo was a complete dud.
Everybody knows it was kind of a dud, even the people in the Republican Party who thought they were going to start some big trial balloon here. Nothing changed. It's almost an embarrassment.
It's almost an embarrassment. Wow, this whole thing was a dud, this Nunes memo. Now with the Inspector General's report, it was proven true. And Adam Schiff, his memo, which came out a week later, was found to be a complete fraud. Now, Adam Schiff was on the Sunday shows the other day talking about how, well, you know, he didn't have the information available to him at the time, and that's why maybe he had missed the mark on some of the points that he'd made. He had sworn up and down that the Steele dossier was not used to get the FISA warrant, that there was no FISA abuse whatsoever. so on and so forth, all the Democratic talking points that were widely and completely unquestioningly accepted by the mainstream media until they were proven to be false. Then they've moved on. They've ignored it. So I just want to remind you of those little factoids, because these are the very same people who are going to present themselves and are presenting themselves as arbiters of truth when it comes to impeachment. They are frauds. They are liars with an agenda. If Democrats and the media have such a strong case against Donald Trump, they wouldn't have to lie about the case they have against Donald Trump. That is really all you need to know, all anybody needs to know. If they really had truth on their side, they would use it. But they're not using the truth. And anything that dares challenge the narrative is dismissed out of hand. Well, this Nunes memo is a dud. This is a dud. And that stood for a year. Congratulations, Democrats. You lied to the people for a year successfully, media. Good job. It's not your job. It's supposed to be the antithesis of your job, but you got away with it. Not one of the people in those clips that you heard have acknowledged that they were wrong. And it's because they weren't wrong. They lied. There's a difference. You can say, hey, what's the temperature? And say, that's 40 degrees, and it's actually 50 degrees. That's being wrong. When you know it's 50 degrees and you say it's 40 degrees, that's a lie. Those people were lying, and they're lying to this day. It's not by accident. It's on purpose. And it's on purpose because the truth doesn't aid them. The truth does not help them. That's why when Democrats during impeachment talked about, the president said to Zelensky, I need you to do me a favor. They were lying, because he said, we'd like you to do us a favor, meaning the entire country, meaning investigate the interference in the 2016 election. But Democrats don't want to acknowledge that. They skip 540 words and go, I need you to do me a favor and dig up dirt on Joe Biden. Dig up dirt on Joe Biden. Well, that's not what he said. But by the way, if Joe Biden was so sweet and innocent and had done nothing wrong, as pure as the wind-driven snow, there would be no dirt to dig up on him, would there? Of course there wouldn't. It's weird how that works. But they're counting on you not to be able to think of those things, to bring up those inconvenient truths, as Al Gore might say. Like this inconvenient truth. Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin. Yesterday, Jerry Nadler, Jabba from New York, had some kind of family emergency. Don't know what it is. Don't care. Hope it works out. But he wasn't able to be at the Rules Committee hearing. So representing the Democrats was Congressman Jamie Raskin, who just kind of looks like a greasy. He always looks like he just stepped out of the shower. His hair always looks wet. I don't understand what's going on there. But Jamie Raskin was asked a very simple question. If this is all about the horrible pressure that Trump brought to bear against the Ukrainians, the arm twisting, the quid pro quo, the threats, did anybody ever from Ukraine ever say anything along the lines of that they felt it or they thought that it might happen? Was there any semblance of that? And Raskin tries to dodge, and then when it's pointed out that that wasn't the question that he was asked, he then turns to staff, when it goes silent, it's Raskin turning desperately to staff, committee staff, saying, anything? Do we have anything? Did we ever find anything? And they didn't find anything, because all the Ukrainians involved in this said, we had no idea any of this was going on. We never felt pressured to do anything. We didn't even know that the money was being slowed up, held up. We had no idea any of this, which if you're going to apply pressure, it's kind of important that people are aware that pressure is being applied. Listen to this audio here.
President Zelensky, any Ukrainian official ever tell you they felt shaken down?
Well, there's lots of evidence in the
record. That's not what I asked. I said, have you got any statement?
No, I've never spoken to.
Okay. And are there any statement on the record? I don't think so.
No, there's statements on the record. The record ours, we wasn't pressured. We wasn't part of anything. I wouldn't be a part of that. Those are the statements from Mr. Zelensky.
There you have it. Democrat. Well, they're shaking down. Did they ever say that they felt shaken down? Did they ever say, Did anybody ever say it? No. Now, Democrats have been using a ready-made excuse for this because it's kind of important. You can't really blackmail somebody. If I have dirt on you, if I have just the worst thing possible, whatever it is, on you, and you don't know that I have this. If I have photos, let's say I have photos of you committing murder, right? Let's just for fun. Photos of you committing murder. And I'm not going to the police. I plan on blackmailing you. But you don't know that I have these pictures. You don't know that these pictures even exist. How well do you think my blackmail scheme is going to go? If I never let it be known to you that I have these pictures of you committing this murder, how well do you think my blackmail scheme is going to go? I'm going to be sitting there at home looking at my bank statement going, why isn't the money going into my bank account? I don't get it. I have this great evidence. I'm blackmailing this person, only I forgot to tell them that I'm blackmailing them, but still they should know. Shouldn't some strange disturbance in the force let them know that they should deposit $10,000 into my bank account? It's insane to extort, to put the screws to apply pressure to shake down somebody. They have to be aware of what you're doing. No one was made aware of it because it wasn't happening. Yet they're impeaching the president of the United States today based on the idea that the so-called target of the shakedown, of the abuse of power, of the extortion, whatever they want to call it this week because they've poll tested everything, that the target of that illegal, immoral, awful activity by the President of the United States, they weren't aware of it. You have to be made aware of it, at least even anonymously. If I were to send you copies of the pictures of you murdering somebody and say deposit the money into this or put a bag of money in this garbage can or whatever, that would at least be something. Then that's kind of a better step in how extortion or blackmail or shakedowns work. But if I never tell you anything and I just have these pictures and I keep them to myself forever thinking I'm blackmailing you, you're not being blackmailed because you're not aware of it. You're not being shaken down because you're not aware of it. They just want to stain the president's record, and they're using the power of the Constitution to do it. Theoretically, they're allowed to do it. Realistically, they should be ashamed of themselves, but I don't think Democrats are capable of feeling shame anymore. They're so far beyond that. They now subsist on blind rage and absolute loyalty to a political leadership. It's kind of funny. The Republican side is filled with people who support the president and people who oppose the president, but they look at this and say, this is not impeachable. There is no crime here. There is nothing. Even some Never Trumpers have come out and said, and some Trump skeptic, Never Trump adjacent people have said, I don't like the guy, but this is garbage. This is crap. This is nothing. There isn't really much dissent, if any, certainly not in the media, on the Democratic side. As Democrats whine about blind loyalty to the president, ask yourself this: is there anything but blind loyalty to the liberal agenda on the left? Is there anything, literally anything, the one guy who said this is ridiculous left the party because that was the only way he could survive? He would have been an outcast in his own party. Which side has the blind loyalty? Which side is the lemmings jumping off the cliff? It's a pretty important question, and you know the answer to it. You know, last night, this is sort of impeachment tangential. What's her face? Lisa Page. She's now coming out. She's now trying to save her reputation and going around to friendly outlets like The Atlantic, and she's going to, or the Daily Beast. and MSNBC for a sit-down interview. She went on Rachel Maddow, the ultimate safe space for any left-winger, to try and plead her case that she deserves compensation for her text messages being released to the public. It ruined her reputation. Now, I think banging your boss ruined your reputation, honey. I think that probably did more to sully your reputation than anything else. Call me old-fashioned, but you being married and Peter Strzok being married and the two of you scissoring in the office late night is probably not the best way to build up a reputation. Well, I guess you can build up a reputation that way, but not a good one. She is running around claiming victim status because she claims that the president faked an orgasm of her and that was beyond the pale, and that's why she must speak out now. That's not why she must speak out now. She's speaking out now to try and counter the FISA report, the Inspector General's report, because whose fingerprints and God knows what other kind of DNA are all over the abuses detailed in the FISA investigation? Why, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, they're splattered and dripped all over that thing. There's an image for you. Because they were spearheading this thing. They were heavily involved. They were right there from the get-go in charge of this, digging through, setting this up, advocating for it, while having an affair. The idea that, my God, my text messages were released and that sullied my relationship. No, the Inspector General's report sullied your relationship, and you're banging your boss having an affair. That sullied your relationship, sweet cheeks. You did it to yourself. But being a Democrat means never having to say you're sorry. So she goes on Rachel Maddow's show, and she is I don't know if Rachel was coming on to her or not, but if she were coming on to her, I'm not really sure you could have gotten a more softball interview. And they brought up the idea of these text messages, which, by the way, it's kind of important to note, were sent on government-provided devices, which means that they are government property. It doesn't matter if they're personal in nature. They are government property. If you're that freaking stupid and that arrogant in thinking that Donald Trump's never going to win, so nobody's ever going to know this, so I can talk about banging my boss and how Donald Trump is evil on these devices, because, you know, if this had come out, if Hillary Clinton had won, all of this would have been deleted. Hillary has ways of making devices disappear. She'll send over her own personal hammer to whack them into oblivion. But listen to Rachel Maddow and Lisa Page talk about the insurance policy text. And, of course, there's literally zero follow-up question or any doubting, any serious questioning of what Lisa says. It's just accepted as gospel.
In terms of the text messages and the allegations that have been made against you, you've sort of explained yourself in putting those text messages in greater context in terms of what they meant and the way they were used against you. Can you explain to us tonight what was meant by, for example, the insurance policy text message? So this is you and Peter Strzok texting about the prospect that President Trump is going to be elected, the unlikely prospect.
Right. I mean, it's an analogy. First of all, it's not my text, so I'm sort of interpreting what I believe he meant back 3 years ago. But we're using an analogy. We're talking about whether or not we should take certain investigative steps or not based on the likelihood that he's going to be president or not. Right. You have to keep in mind, if President Trump doesn't become president, the national security risk, if there is somebody in his campaign associated with Russia, plummets. You're not so worried about what Russia's doing vis-a-vis a member of his campaign if he's not president, because you're not going to have access to classified information. You're not going to have access to sources and methods in our national security apparatus. So the insurance policy was an analogy. It's like an insurance policy when you're 40. You don't expect to die when you're 40, yet you still have an insurance policy.
So don't just hope that he's not going to be elected and therefore not press forward with the investigation hoping, but rather press forward with the investigation just in case he does get in there.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, that's exactly it. The only problem that is exactly wrong with that is that it ignores the first part of the text, which is really more damning. The first part of the text that Peter Strzok sent his receptacle was as follows, quote, "I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way he gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk." Can't take that risk. What path? What path are they talking about? Why not ask about the path? And then it says, it's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. Okay, what path? What did they discuss? Why were they discussing this? And remember, more importantly than anything else, by this point, the FBI knew that Carter Page was not a Russian asset, that Carter Page was in fact a CIA asset working against Russia. With that in mind, they kept that from the FISA court. So they're investigating the Trump campaign for ties to Russia with under the cover of a guy who is a spy, essentially, for the United States, for the CIA. And they lied about that. Rachel Maddow didn't ask about that. The FISA abuses have, like I said, already been memory-holed. They're irrelevant. The Democrats, they don't serve the Democratic agenda. So they might as well not exist. That's how the left operates. Why were there no questions about, you're talking about an insurance policy on the unlikely event that Donald Trump wins, and we need to protect against that because it's such a threat to the country and national security because of Carter Page and George Papadopoulos? Really? You knew both of them had done nothing at this point. You knew because you withheld the information about Carter Page from the FISA courts, which they got a massive rebuke for yesterday, which is why Lisa Page is doing interviews now. If she doesn't come out and do these interviews and do this distraction dance that she's doing, then unlikely that MSNBC or CNN, but then there's a possibility that some reporting on the FISA letter from the FISA court would get press, would get a story. People would be then more informed about the lies that our government, the Obama administration, used in order to spy on the Trump campaign. Instead, they're talking about this kabuki theater with the Scissor Sisters up there saying, well, we were just saying, just in case, because if Donald Trump isn't elected, then the threat to our democracy diminishes dramatically. And that's all the insurance policy was about. No, you knew that the entire investigation was predicated upon lies. The Inspector General, the Democrat Inspector General, exposed that last week. But Rachel Maddow couldn't be bothered. That'd be too much like work, too much like journalism to ask that question. Then bowl cut diva Maddow circles back and asks about more stuff. And this, in Lisa Page's answer, you hear the contempt. And this is what you get when you go to a friendly outlet. Again, you, like Zoe Lofgren, like all these Democrats, you let your guard down a little bit when you're amongst friends. And she lets her guard down a little bit, and she really shows her contempt, not only for Donald Trump, but for anybody who dared not vote the way that Lisa Page votes. You people are idiots, is what she says in this clip.
What about the text message that in which you and Strzok were talking about your sort of fear that Trump would be elected, and he said, no, we won't let it happen?
I mean, by we, he's talking about the collective we, like-minded, thoughtful, sensible people who were not going to vote this person into office. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, in retrospect, do I wish he hadn't sent it? Yes, it's been mutilated to death, and it's been used to bludgeon an institution I love, and it's meant that I've disappointed countless people. But this is a snapshot in time, carrying on a conversation that had happened earlier in the day that reflected a broad sense of he's not going to be president. We, the democratic people of this country, are not going to let it happen.
We, well, the smart people, the educated people, the non-smelly, non-Walmart shopping people, we will not allow such an injustice to stand. You can hear the contempt dripping. Now, why in the hell was somebody like this and her boyfriend put in charge of this investigation? Were out there in charge of this investigation, leading on this investigation? Well, we can guess, can't we? But I did just love the dripping contempt. No, no, no. We were just talking about how there's no way. There aren't enough morons in this country to elect Donald Trump. Everybody who's smart will know that Hillary Clinton is the only way to go. And little did we know that there were a bunch of morons out there who would counter our will. How dare they go against our will? Unacceptable. The contempt. The vile contempt that these people have is, and of course Rachel Maddow doesn't make that connection, because Rachel Maddow, the thing's like, yeah, you're right, those morons, they really screwed up everything for everybody, didn't they? They've ruined it all for all of us by not electing Hillary Clinton president of the United States. Not discussed all the shady dealings discovered by the Inspector General. This was a PR stunt. This was a distraction. Democrats need Lisa Page as badly as Lisa Page needs Democrats to try and rehabilitate both of their reputations. They lied about the FISA investigation. They lied in Adam Schiff's FISA report. They lied about Devin Nunes' FISA report. They've been lying about it the entire time, and now they can no longer deny that they lied about it. So this gives them, Lisa Page's reemergence gives them something else to talk about, because the alternative is to talk about how big of a fraud they are, and they don't want that. Then who's going to call them out on it anyway? Certainly not one of their own. Certainly not one of their own. Keep that in mind, and keep all of this in mind that we heard today as you watch the coverage of the impeachment vote unfold and the reporting of it afterwards, that everybody who is talking to you on television, if you watch these networks, lied to you knowingly, willingly, and wantingly for years, because it served their political agenda. Do you really think they're going to stop now? They're pot committed, baby. They're all in. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening, telling a friend, and all that good stuff. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/Derek Hunter Show. Thank you for all the emails. I apologize for the F-bomb yesterday, although in email form, the people who took the time to email me, it's running about 90% in favor of the F-bomb. So thanks for that. Sometimes it wells up in you. And sometimes you just got to blow and let it go. So it's not going to be a regular feature, but I find that if you use it sparingly, it has impact. And I think it had impact. So there you go. You can email me, Derek@DailyCaller.com. Don't forget to send me your list of grievances, your airing of grievances. Make them as interesting as you can. Make it about a TV commercial. Make it about your neighbor. Whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be about politics. And I'll pick the best of them and read them on the Festivus version of the program, which is the official day of Festivus is the 23rd of December this year. I don't know how they determine it. I think they just make it up. But it's Monday. So Monday's show will be an airing of grievances, because I got some grievances, baby. I'll see you tomorrow.
The vote to impeach will be a stain on his record forever.